Right. You two ready?
Go.
He knows
Go.
he's gonna mess up again.
No, it's because I hate this intro. Right.
What's the intro? Tell me what it is, I'll do it.
I do stupid intros from now on because I just feel like it works for the podcast. So I pretend to be someone else.
Yours,
No, normally
Petey.
they go like
Top of the morning, laddies! I'm Jacksepticeye! Welcome back to another podcast.
And you're never gonna edit for Jacksepticeye in the future.
He's on my list of the three people that I'd love to do just one video for, so I could just say that I've done it.
You know what? We'll have to get into that list. Actually, genuinely, we will have to.
Yeah.
Right. Let's do this. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Clip It podcast episode. Shit, I can't actually remember. 38, I think. It's good to be back. I hope you're all having a lovely time. Now, before we get into this episode, I just wanted to talk about the other day I was looking into the void, as I mostly do. It was kind of lonely, I'm not going to lie. But then I saw this beautiful, beautiful blue circle in the distance. It was fascinating. I didn't know what it was, but I felt like I was connected to it in some sort of way. Enough about me. I am the moon himself, Tactical TV, and today we are joined by the amazing host, co-host, I should say, Delicious.
What just happened? What sort of fever dream did you just spell?
A fascinating one at that. And the our amazing special guest. Some call him amazing, I guess. Some others call him a wonderful community member of TFG's Discord, helping everybody out in one way or another. But I call him that man with a wonderful shirt. I did actually plan this out, but it didn't go the way I wanted to plan it. How are you
Nothing
doing?
Ever does. I'm all right. I'm warm. Apart from that, I'm good.
Good to hear. I don't know how you're warm. It's freezing cold in the UK, at least where we are.
Cold.
So,
I guess it's just this room and all of the kit just pumps out a ton of heat.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's
maybe
just
the it's the shirt. It's this bit
of kit right here. It's the worst. This thing, I don't know what. It's not even making my computer go any quicker. Like this thing, it just, I don't know what it does. It's just like constantly.
Jesus Christ. Well, it's a genuine, absolute pleasure to have you on today. Honestly, thank you very
thank
much.
You for thank you for inviting me. I
honestly
do enjoy doing these podcast things.
Have you got
you
a podcast
by
for yourself?
I don't.
I'm on a weird hiatus from like creating my own content.
Why?
Because I'm scared of creating my own content.
How come?
Because I know how hard it is.
Oh.
Cause I make content for everyone else. And I know what it means to be successful in the content creation world because I work with some of the biggest names in the Twitch and the YouTube space. And I'm just like, well, if I'm gonna do it, I'm not gonna do it half-assed. I'm not gonna do a shit job of it. It's going to be good. And then I look at how much time it would take and I'm like, should I do that? And then I come up with a load of ideas for like, I've got thousands of ideas for things that I'd like love to do. But then I'm just like, should I commit to doing five of them? Probably not. So what's the point in doing one of them? So yeah, but sometimes I'm going to start streaming me editing again.
Oh, sick.
I was going to do it this week, but the video that I was editing would have got my Twitch chat banned. It would have got my channel banned. It was very TOS. So there was just, the guys just were eating bugs. Like, so they were like eating maggots and cockroaches, black scorpion, tarantula, rhino beetles. And they were so drunk and so hammered, they just ended up completely naked. So there was like a half an hour section where I had to like do a lot of like censorship and stuff because Kevin was just completely nude, like just running around the house. And I was like, I can't edit this on stream.
I'm amazed. Do you get a bonus for editing nudity?
I don't get a bonus, but I definitely get boners. Yeah. No, I got a message when they recorded it. I got a message from them saying, I'm really sorry, but this is going to be the worst thing you've ever done. Like and I'm used to editing videos of these guys vomiting everywhere. And that's fine, But it's just the fact that, yeah, Kevin's just completely... And to be fair, I messaged Kevin and was like, look, I know you're a bit insecure about this, but I can tell you work out. Like, he's actually jacked. So he's not gonna come off badly. But I couldn't have streamed it. It was just
yeah, you can barely get through it yourself.
Super TOS. Unless I sat in a hot tub and did it, then I might have gotten away with it. But I'm not attractive enough to get away with editing that kind of content on Twitch.
Twitch is at a point where you can start licking ears and you'll get away with it. Just lick it, a microphone shaped like an ear, and then edit it. You'd be fine.
Licking ears not allowed.
No, yeah, I think they didn't they say no, none of that like sexually suggestive content. Like you can't.
Oh, it's been a big.
I don't know. It's the greyest area. It's such a grey area. I just tell people to steer clear of it all. Mm. Like, I know one guy that I used to work for. He set up a streaming basement and he had like all of his stuff on the wall. You know, those are cool things. And he had a pole or pole dancing.
Mm.
And, you know, he's quite an athletic guy. So occasionally he'd just get up and go and spin around it. And his Twitch contact told him he had to take it down.
Jeez.
And he was like, but I'm fully dressed. And like, I'm clearly not like, it's very satire, right? He's got rubber fists stuck on the walls next to him. So when he gets a really good kill, you know, like in esports, they fist bump each other. He fist bumps the fists whenever he...
Oh, right.
They're called gamer fists, and he fist bumps the fist, but he had to take his pole down.
That is just... The Twitch is... It feels like Twitch don't do their research when it comes to what... Like there's context to why there's a stripper pole in the background. He doesn't get naked. It's just there for comedic use and him to spin around a bit. But in their mind, no, it's a stripper pole. Yeah. It has bad connotations.
I think they're scared of offending people. But at the same time, when it actually comes down to taking action and doing something, they're scared of offending people.
Yeah.
So I think they just do this thing where they just hide until it all blows over. And then they do nothing. Because to be fair, if you were Twitch... No matter what you did, you're getting some sort of like grief. Like someone's putting you on blast on Twitter. Someone is. Doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't want to work there. I feel like you just get grief all the time.
Yeah. It's hard to say because like the reason I said they don't do their research is there's a great example. I don't know if you're aware of the Misfits, the Australian gaming bunch.
I know of them, yeah.
One of the group of them called Zuckles put in his bio on Twitch that he was 12 and he proceeded to get banned for it. He's blatantly not 12 years old, especially
he's
not
quite
on his
clearly not 12. Yeah.
But they still banned him because they thought he was 12. I don't know if that was because it was false advertisement or what, but still, they just don't do their research and they don't give a warning.
False advertisement.
All it would have taken was a member of staff to just be like, hey, question.
I
can see you're not 12. Can you just sort that out?
I'm assuming he's a partner, and obviously all partners have partner managers. Admittedly, these partner managers probably deal with a couple, more than a handful of people, because I don't see Twitch having enough for all the partners on Twitch.
They don't.
But still, it just seemed like one of those silly situations that just shouldn't have dealt with. They're definitely getting better, though. Very much. They're doing a lot more recently.
They need to get a lot better a lot faster.
Yes. Oh, what's your... This is kind of new. What's your opinion on their new Ape program?
The new ad stuff.
Yeah.
So, the more... So, this is my opinion on all forms of ads.
Oh, yes.
Whether it's, like, Raid Shadow Legends ads, which I've edited, like, 10, or, like, Twitch ads, right? Let's take money from massive companies... Because all they're going to do is find a way to pay themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a content creator and you get an offer to run 2 minutes of ads, 5 minutes of ads, whatever it is, an hour, in exchange for like, no one's given me any official figures yet.
Yeah.
But it's in some instances, I've heard £500 in a month, right? If someone says, run a couple of ads on your stream, give you 500 quid a month. If I was like a smaller creator, I'd be scrapping for 500 quid a month.
Mm.
You know, that's 100 subs. No, that's 200 subs.
Yes.
after the cut. That's 200 subs, and that's in dollars as well. Mm. So it's probably more. Where it becomes difficult is the vocal minority that don't qualify, and they say, "Oh, you guys should do more to support us." The challenge those people face is that I look at, and I've been doing this for a long time now, the business side of content creation. It's not profitable for them to give a two viewer streamer £500 a month for 2 minutes of ads. Mm. So you know, work more, put more into your stream, learn how to grow it, and then you'll have that to look forward to.
Yeah.
Take that, bitch.
Yeah, it is what it is. Like, the general consensus is any company that you work for wants to get 5 times your yearly salary out of you.
Oh.
So if you get paid 20 grand a year, your company wants to see 5 times that much in your input into the business, right? And if you're not providing that, then you can't ask for a pay rise. So if you're on Twitch with 5 viewers, you're going, why am I not getting £500 a month for running adverts? Are you worth £500 a month's worth of adverts? Because they have to sell the adverts to the advertisers and you know, whether it's pulled in through the Google AdSense stuff or not. Mm. They have to say, right, well, these ads are worth this much. We'll give you 25% of those ads, and that equates to this much.
Yeah.
But you have to hit this target. So I think it's great, because I love taking money off of massive companies.
And it's nice to have a guaranteed income, because it is. If you've got that program and you accept it, you are, if you do the adverts they want you to do, you are getting a guaranteed payment.
You are getting that money, which is
really nice, especially coming from ads. Ads are very volatile way of earning money. Was a very volatile area on YouTube going back a couple of years now, PewDiePie's fault. But it's just nice to have a consistent income. Even, like, I think the examples I saw were, I think it was $150 if someone streamed 190 hours that month, which isn't the best, but they're obviously going to aim it.
You're streaming 190 hours anyway.
Yeah, if they aim it at your average amount of hours you streamed a week. So if you're doing that anywhere and you're happy to put, I think it's like 4 ads every hour or something like that, 4-minute ads every hour. You know, that's a nice bit of extra change to add into your subs, especially if you're streaming 190 hours. You're probably making a little bit off streaming. Because I'm not afraid to say, when I do 40 hours a month, nothing anywhere profitable. Yeah. And I think I earn about 16 cents off my ads. I don't play them consistently, but it's shit, you know. But
it's not worth playing them. And this is the problem that Twitch have. It's not the same as YouTube, where we force ads upon you. Mm-mm. You know, in the videos that I make, we literally sit you down and make you watch the ads. Or within the first minute, we're shouting at you about Raid Shadow Legends. You can just fast forward. That's fine. That doesn't hurt our feelings. We've already been paid.
Yeah.
It's any ads that we have to do on TikTok, just scroll past it. You know, we've already been paid. We don't care. But if the incentive as a Twitch streamer was to run ads for 16 to 20 pence a month to your 5 viewers, I just wouldn't bother. Like, so they have to bump their numbers up to try and make it more saleable, because at the end of the day, when it comes to, hey, Mr. Company, would you like to advertise on our platform? How many eyeballs are we going to reach? Mm. Oh, 1,000. Okay, we'll pay you this much. If they turn around and go, it's 100,000 because of this new thing, then they can charge, you know, 100 times as much. It's that 5 times return. You know, they need bigger numbers to be able to go to the advertisers and charge them more. So I think it's great. I think it's innovative. It's new. Streaming needed something new. Twitch needed something new. I think with the whole, like, maybe going to YouTube decision that some people make, I think they needed something to, I know, give people a reason to stay.
It definitely seems Twitch are doing more to make streaming more enjoyable, I guess. They're constantly working on new stuff. And then if something goes well, YouTube go, you know what, we're going to also take that idea, but name it slightly differently and have a slightly different feature.
The subscribers.
Yeah, it's brilliant. But you saying about like, the subscriptions, you know, for someone to get about $500 through ads, it's about 200 subscriptions. even as affiliates, I feel like it surprises me that most partners only get half, well, they get the same as affiliates unless they, you know, unless they negotiate and actually talk to their partner, which I thought was hella surprising. Half is not acceptable, I feel, especially in today's world. YouTube, I think, takes 25%.
YouTube is like 75% to the creator.
Yeah.
Because the YouTube engine, and I talk to new YouTubers about this quite a lot, and any streamers that are trying to start YouTube, the biggest thing that YouTube wants is for you to succeed. Because if you succeed, let's say tomorrow you're like, right, I'm going to double down on my YouTube channel. And then we fast forward a year and you've got 100,000 subs, right? Because you just went mad, crazy at it. And it's just growth. They can bill more your ads, and the company makes more, then you get a cut. They want you to succeed. If they didn't want you to succeed, YouTube would collapse under its own weight. But it feels like Twitch don't want you to succeed, because the only way you grow on Twitch is by growing on TikTok and on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube channels. It just, you know. And to me, if you said, hey, do you want 50% of that or do you want 75% of that? I'd be like, well, of course I want 75% of that. So the YouTube thing's actually really attractive.
Yeah.
But Twitch are leaning on this whole, like, we're Twitch, you know.
It feels like they're just living off their top, like, hundreds of, like, you know, the top ring of people who have hundreds of thousands of followers and make them a shit ton of money. It just feels like they're living off that lot and then just don't really care about the bottom, the cannon fodder, as you may say, which is a bit disappointing because not everybody wants to. Or I guess as you said earlier, being a content creator, I'm not qualified to say this, but being a content creator is a shit ton of work, a lot more than anybody ever expects. I stream 4 times a week and I try and make at least a video a week, and working a mostly full-time job, that's a lot of time. It feels like it's a lot of pressure. You know, you shouldn't force yourself to do this unless you want to actually try and get somewhere with it. But it should just be a hobby for most people. And I think that's what disappoints a lot, is they get into it thinking, you know, I can make a quick buck. Nah. Unless you really put the hours and the time and
it's a lot more business orientated these days. Like, insanely business orientated. Like, I've spoken to, get ready to pick this name up off the floor.
I'm gonna have to put this in the title.
I've spoken to someone that knows Mr. Beast. Oh, there you go. Six ways of separation. This guy knows someone that knows Mr. Beast. So I've spoken to this guy that is friends with Mr. Beast, and he said that for like 6 months when they worked together, all Mr. Beast was saying is that, you know, YouTube is a skill-based game. And I've heard him say it on like podcasts and in various like videos with other people. And he over and over and over again, it's a skill-based game. And this guy was telling me all about some of the, like, you know, tips and tricks that they use. And a lot of it's common sense. None of it's like cheating. It's just, you know, it's a search engine. It returns videos.
Yeah.
So you have to be smart about how you put your content out there. And I think that because such a small amount of people, and I shouldn't liken it to elite sports professionals, but I do, a small amount of football players play in the Premier League, but millions of kids dream of it. A lot of them play football at the weekend, and a lot of them continue to play football into their adult life for Sunday league teams, five-a-side teams, this, that, and the other. And it's more realistic for them to go, I'm probably not going to sign for a like top world-class football team. But these kids think I'm going to become a massive streamer. And then they just do it. And they don't realize how much goes in until they go, this isn't working. And then suddenly they're depressed.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is awful and I hate my life. So it's a lot harder to get into than it used to be.
Well, I think using that 6 degrees of separation, I've got my title, right there. Yeah. I think I'm just going to call this podcast
Mr. B Secret? Question mark?
I'm going to call this podcast A Sarcastic Brit Says Mr. Beast Has Depressed All the Kids in the World or something
he's,
like that.
He's ruined the hopes and dreams of every child that ever wanted to put their hand on a Lamborghini.
That is a better one, right?
Yeah. I'm quite honest. I don't really like his videos that much.
I'm not into it.
We can black him out in the thumbnail and say, this man hates Mr. Beast.
This man hates Mr. Beast. Here's why. And it's just some unknown editor guy just wearing a cat taco top.
Who vaguely
and it's all going to be, it's all going to be massively out of context.
Like, yeah. This minor celebrity hates Mr. Beast.
But like six ways of separation is quite a funny thing because the people I know pretty much know
the whole of YouTube.
Esterly's really good mates with Swagger Souls.
Yes.
Juicy and Josh and Mully and all of those guys are all really good mates with like Swagger Souls and all of those other people. And if they wanted to put a phone call in, they could probably get to, you know, any of like Markiplier, Jacksepticeye, you know, PewDiePie, even though he's quite hard to get hold of these days because he's like half retired.
He lives in Brighton.
Yeah. So it's like the six ways of separation is quite interesting because when I talk to these guys, they're like, oh, I was talking to such and such a person the other day and they said this and I was like, wow, you know that guy? I want to know that guy. He sounds cool. Stay in my lane. Stay in my little pod. Stay in my little pod.
We did have a bunch of questions that I was going to ask you and it seems I haven't gone through any of them yet. But I feel
we're
like I just
about
want...
Tom Scott.
We're not talking about... Do you know Tom Scott? There you go.
Well, I know Tom Scott. Why do I recognize that
have
name?
Have you got any six degrees of connection to Tom Scott?
No. Oh, Tom Scott. Ah, no. Do you know what? I actually have never spoken to anyone that has mentioned his name. But he
Tom Scott
is
doesn't exist? Question mark.
Is he a robot? Is he artificial intelligence?
Oh yeah.
I love Tom Scott. I think he's great, and I would love to sit down and just pick his brains.
Mm.
He's just a smart guy. Oh, have you reached out to him?
He was advertising. Don't even bring this up. He was advertising to come on people's channels, and I said I emailed him saying, "Do you want to be on the podcast?" And he said no.
Tom.
And then we
it
just
was
did
worth
an,
a try.
Then we did an entire episode where this one just completely shat on
Tom.
I was
just ragging on Tom the entire time.
Just ragging on
Tom.
So
many chances
Scott
we did have are gone.
Aw.
You never
Tom,
know.
I'll make a podcast, and you can be the only person on the only episode of it. Because I know you tune into these regularly, Tom.
He watches every single one.
If we get the tags right on YouTube, we can get a real big audience here.
You might be able to point it at him. You might be able to like,
every
SEO
single tag
it in his
is just
direction.
Tom Scott. Yeah. Or a Tom Scott variant of the tag.
Historical research, fascinating landmarks, interesting UK things.
Questionable haircut. Right. No, okay, he's definitely not coming on now.
Yeah, he's getting old, all right. He's not the young man he used to be.
Oh, yeah, but him with his long hair, I don't know how I feel about that. But,
Definitely think it suits him better now it's short.
Yes. No, 100%.
Oh, let's keep bragging on him. I agree. I like where this is going.
Let's just keep going. Let's just keep going.
You know, I completely forgotten the question I was going to ask you now, anyway. Damn it. I'll go back to the list.
Oh, do you know
if
he's written down?
No, I had a bunch of them written down, but I was going to ask you another one which was related to what we were just talking about.
Oh, sorry.
And then it's just completely gone now. It was something like. That was it. Have you ever been starstruck by anybody or like talking to someone?
Yeah, I know I have, definitely.
Right now?
Right now, Tom Scott's FaceTiming me.
Oh, wow.
He's watching the hot, no. The first time, so it kind of goes back to 2020 when I was working for an up and coming streamer that was growing. You know, when I met him, he had 20 viewers. And then a few months later, he had 70 viewers and he was like on the up and he was in the Rainbow Six Siege scene, which is where I started.
Okay.
I was editing videos for him and he really wanted to like network with the Rainbow Six esports community. So he was like, hey, this was in, I don't know, November 2019.
Mm.
He was like, February, the World Championships are on in Canada. Do you want to go? And I just laughed at him and was like, I'm on a 20 grand wage. I took a job as a junior project manager to try and like have a career change because I worked in sales for years and I just grew bored of the cold calling and all of that stuff. Yeah. And I grew a bit bored of it. And I was like, I want a bit of a more relaxed job. So I decided to choose project management, which was dumb. And I was like, I've got no holiday left, no vacation days, I've got no money. So I'd have to take a week unpaid, so I'd need to find more. I was like, this just isn't possible. Anyway, he calls me a week later and says, look, if I can make it affordable, can you go? So we ran the numbers and I was just like, if you give me $1,000, I'll come with you. You can make it tax deductible because I'll follow you around with a camera for the whole time. And I'll be like your camera guy. And then I'll edit it. And like, you can call that my wages for the month. You can write it off as like an employee tax, like do what you want. So he agreed. He flew me out in February 2020 to Montreal to go to the Rainbow Six World Championships. He knew maybe two people from just being on Twitch. Couple of streamers, couple of pro players. And I knew no one. I was just there as a camera guy and an editor. And this dude walks us into a room. And there are the entire G2 Esports roster. Oh. There is Bikini Body and the whole Fnatic roster. There is the now Sonics but former E United roster. There's all the casters. There's the guys that like run Ubisoft. And I'm in this bar, this massive, massive sports bar. Like all these people, like Russian Badgers there and Bikini Bodies there and King George's there and SSG that just won World Championships, they're in the corner. We've met this agent who owns CCS Esports and he's like, come on, I'll introduce you guys to the World Championships. And like over the course of these days, I just got to know all these people. Smash them all at pool. But like
British, obviously.
I just hammered everyone at pool and people coming up to my pool table and they were like, can I play you? And I was like, yeah. And then the guy that flew me out walked up to me and be like, that guy plays for Fnatic. He's important. Don't embarrass him. And I was like, oh my God, okay, sorry. Might be. And like, I was just surrounded by all these people and I was like, this is fucking crazy. This is absolutely crazy. And I knew I'd been accepted by the Americans when the guy that owns CCS Esports, who went on to get me the contract to do... I edited the World Championships in 2021.
Oh, wow.
Because it was... there was no crowd. So they had loads of pre-recorded segments. And I got a whole gig. And I charged them a ton of money for it. And it was great. Worst job I've ever done in my life. I'm never doing it again. It was fucking stressful. Like,
oh,
it was great.
You're working for a big company that very tight.
It's a lot of bureaucracy. And I'm used to just working with the YouTubers. And I go, is this good? And they go, hey. Like, these guys are like, oh, we can't. He said Blockbuster. I need to re-record that section because he said Blockbuster. And I'm like, really? So he stands there at the bar and he shouts like, oh, everyone's getting Jaeger bombs. Where's that little British guy? Come waddling along. All right. And he just goes, Jaeger bombs. I was like, cool. So that blew me away. And I remember coming home and I had a couple of days off work afterwards. And I was just a bag of like adrenaline. And then a guy that I met while I was out there tagged me in Pestily's tweet saying that he was looking for an editor. And I was like, no, I'm really going to do this. I'm going to go for this. I'm going to swing at this. And I went through the application process. And when I got invited to an interview. I answered the Skype call, just like we did, the Discord call, just like we did today. Pestily's face is in the middle of my monitor, just really big. And I was like, fucking hell. Fucking Pestily, that. Fuck me. All right. Be cool. Be cool. And it's, and that's yeah, that was the second time. And it, after that, I relaxed a lot. And now it's just... I mean, obviously, when Josh Dubb said, I'm looking for editors, and I messaged him back, you know, this guy that's got, like, 9 million subs on YouTube. He's, like, the biggest VR YouTuber. He's, you know, the guy's a beast. When he DM'd me back, I was, like, half asleep. I just dropped my phone on my face. So what the fuck? Sprung into action and was like, I need to edit. I need to go now. He wants me to make an Uno video.
No.
I was like, Uno video, just making this thing. And then when I jumped on a call with him, I was like, this is really cool. I wasn't starstruck, but I was like, this is really cool. So now for me, it's just... they're just people.
But you enjoy it, you know.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. The thing I enjoy most is meeting the people, and you find out who's really them and who's a persona. Mm. That's always interesting.
I think that would be, I don't know, because you have your three favorite people you spoke about before the podcast that you would love to edit one video for.
Yeah.
I think one person I would love to meet, just because I feel like they would have a completely different persona in real life, would be Swagger Souls. I feel like his is completely put on. I feel like he speaks like a really fine British accent, but he puts on the American one just for the videos.
I can tell you now that Swagger Souls is the man that he is.
No.
He is a fruitcake.
Is he actually?
He is awesome. He is the dictionary definition of just a lad. He's probably a little bit more relaxed.
Mm.
He swears a bit more. You know, he's maybe a little bit more abrasive to some, but like not in a bad way.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's definitely like that. Oh, hey, yeah, I'm Swagger Souls. Oh, hey. How's it going, guys? What's up? You can't see my face, but I can see you. Come and get it. Can I?
You sound so exactly like someone, but I can't put a name on it.
That's my shit, Swagger. I've never done that impression before.
That was beautiful. Yeah. It was close.
Good for a fucking first try, yeah. That was
fantastic. Anyway, I briefly mentioned it. Who would be your top five... top three YouTubers you'd love to make one video for? I know you mentioned one earlier.
Yeah, if I had the chance, I would like to make just one video for Jacksepticeye, because I love him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lad. I'd like to make a video for PewDiePie. The reason I say that is because when I tell people what I do for a living, they go,
"Have you worked for PewDiePie? Have you?" Oh,
I'm like, no. There's more than one YouTuber. Shut up. Right? And that's just what they say. Oh, I like PewDiePie. Mm-hmm. Yes, he is a YouTuber. I'd like to just, you know, do that. And then the third is kind of a tie. I'd quite like to do a Sidemen video.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really massive projects. Yeah. A lot of them. Huge projects. So like the guy that manages the Sidemen channel follows me on Twitter.
Oh, sick.
So if I slid into his DMs and was like, "Hey, I'm just looking for a one-off job. If you've got any work," I don't know if I'd get anywhere, but I could at least approach it. But I know that I don't have the time or the energy to put into it and make it like the quality that they're looking for.
Mm.
So, because I watch a lot of their videos and I'm like, I could make this. This is really cool, but then I'm like, I know what would go into this, like multi-perspective, multi-lav mic'd up videos with just all these different cameras. And
don't forget they have a separate editor for audio, so you could take the audio
Nick
side
me
out
a lav
of it.
Mic whilst you're out there.
Yeah, fair. But it would the one that comes neck and neck with the Sidemen is Markiplier.
Oh, fair. You can't
Daddy Markiplier.
You can't have Jacksepticeye and not have Markiplier. The same way
exactly
around.
They literally decide what content people make, because I had a meeting with the guy I worked for last night, Juicy, and we were basically joking about how we think that they have like this deal with the devil where they go, "Oh, what's the next video that we should record?" And they just like they're recording it, it's edited, it's out, and then 5 days later everyone else's get released. Because I mean, some of the guys I know react so quick to like a game. They see a game on Steam, it's being released tomorrow, they play it, it gets edited, it gets uploaded and slotted into the schedule. They're still 3 days behind them, and I'm just like, I don't understand. Like, but yeah, I have a lot of love for Jack and Mark. And I'd like to, even if it was for free, just to put my name on it and say,
put it in your CV.
I edited a video for Jacksepticeye. Oh, like for me, it's more of just a get it on the CV kind of thing. No. So yeah, that'd be pretty sick. And I just like the Sidemen. I just think they're cool. They're cool guys.
They are. They've definitely changed the way YouTube has been. They've really paved a way for group channels, especially.
Yeah,
it's very outstanding. Much so. And just the YouTube space in the UK, you know, they've really hunkered down and made it something that put us on the map, if you could word it that way, which is, you know, it's fascinating.
It was very America dominated before with a lot of these, like, and no one really cared, like you say, the group channels. They've always done okay.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, there's a few group channels that do really well.
Yes.
And they're definitely, like, the top tier.
Aren't the Sidemen the longest lasting? Because a lot of them have kind of just come and gone.
They're definitely the longest in my mind.
Yeah.
I remember them forming the Sidemen. Oh, like 2013, do you know what?
2013, maybe?
Yeah, I'm sure it was while I was at uni. Like,
jeez.
And that was a while ago, because I actually, fun story, I used to back in 2012 to 2013-14-ish, a lot of YouTubers, especially in the FIFA world, used Skype because Discord didn't exist TeamSpeak was too complicated, and I actually had Harry on Skype and spoke to him a few times because my best mate was a FIFA YouTuber.
Oh wow.
When he had 60,000 subs.
Is he still a YouTuber?
No, my mate is not anymore. No, he didn't keep up with the trend.
Yeah.
Harry created a trend, and my mate Toby just didn't follow the trend. Everyone else followed the trend. And but I remember speaking to him about it, and he was like, it's just not my kind of video.
Mm.
So,
it's understandable. Nobody wants to chuck their controller in their wall.
I knew Harry before he was big. Just saying. Say some stories about that boy that everyone's forgotten about.
Oh, there's a lot of people forget about Harry.
Yeah, he's a good lad. He's a good lad.
He's the most unhinged in the channel, but he's one of the funniest. So
he's so he says what I want to say.
Hmm.
He just does things. Like, I'm sure there's so much stuff that gets cut.
Oh yeah,
that's just a little bit too far.
You look at any of the best moments from Sidemen that have been blurred, they're all Harry. You
all
know,
to do with Harry.
Anything he says is just hysterical. You were going to say something.
Well, because up until about a minute ago, I've been making a fairly big mistake, and it seems obvious in hindsight.
Right.
So I was slightly judging you for the choice of Sidemen. You know, it would have been my cup of tea. The problem I was making was I was forgetting which group the Sidemen was, and I was thinking of Team 10 instead. So, oops.
Didn't they die out like 2 years ago? Or are they still going?
I hope so.
Is Team 10 Jake's or Logan's?
I think it's Jake's.
I assume they were both.
I didn't just Google it. Don't look in my glasses at my other monitor.
Yes, because Jake definitely did that stupid song with the guy that goes, "I'm from London" or whatever. Whatever his name is, Nico.
Jake Paul.
Oh, they're both doing good for themselves. I have to give it them. Logan's definitely done a lot. Especially
I really didn't like Logan Paul for a long time.
He was a bad man.
And now I really like him.
He was a bad man.
Yeah, he made some questionable decisions. But when you watch some of his podcasts of late and he talks about them, you're like, actually, do you know what? That makes perfect sense. Like, the guy was basically running on Disney crack.
Yes.
He genuinely believes that he would have ended up running himself into an early grave if he hadn't have fucked up as bad as he did, and it forced him to take a break. When he talks about it, I'm like, that's actually crazy. And one of his friends is on the podcast, and he says, I'll always remember the time where we were supposed to start filming for a vlog, and you walked into the room with the camera, your nose just started bleeding. And you just went, I'll do that again. And then walked out and walked back in. And just, everyone's gone, are you okay? He's like, yeah, we're doing the vlog, let's go. And he was just, like, beating himself to death over it. But anyone that doesn't like Logan Paul, watch his podcast with KSI in London.
After you've watched this podcast.
Yes.
After this one. For your evening entertainment. And it will change your mind. And then watch the one with Tommy in it, because it's just funny, because Tommy in it's just chaotic neutral.
I haven't seen much about him in recent times, but he's definitely...
I think he's calmed down a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe he's calmed down a little bit and he's trying to work out what's next, but I love his sense of humor.
The worry is with people like Tommy in it, and this happened to Morgs, is when they mature, what happens? Are they going to be the same as they were and what made them famous, or are they going to, like, Morgs kind of matured a bit and do it a bit more, I guess, calmer content, which I think he's just kind of died down for, but he's still doing well for himself, good on him.
How up to date are you on Morgs?
I saw he did a video buying at Rolex not too long ago, but it's still the typical Morgs video.
It now opens with a Rolex giveaway and one's going.
But, Rolex giveaway.
You know what? Let's actually get into one of these questions I sent you, because I don't want to keep.
Oh yeah, sure.
How did you get into editing?
I wouldn't send these.
To reference my friend that used to make YouTube videos when I was at uni, it looked like fun.
Oh okay.
So I was like, oh, I want to. Can you show me how to do it? And he was like, yeah, sure. So I made like a random channel and just made random videos, and. He sent me a completely legitimate and not cracked version of Sony Vegas 12.
Oh, the best. Because
we were students and we could definitely afford it. And yeah, I sort of got into it a little bit there, but it was shit. So I called the channel my own name, full name. It was youtube.com/doxinyourself, right? It was. And then when I went on to graduate and I worked in sales, people would type my name into Google and it would come up with my YouTube channel of me playing Saturday Night Skyrim. And it was
Are they still
hectic.
Up on the channel?
They're not. I deleted the channel and I wish if I could go back and have the hindsight to just unlist them, because I just would love to watch them back.
Yeah.
Because they were awful. And then it never went anywhere. I just couldn't grow. I didn't know how to grow. I didn't understand it. I was basically relying on my friend's growth and them retweeting my videos going live to then push people into... I was just piggybacking the whole time. And everyone that watched my videos watched their videos. I didn't have my own audience. So I scrapped it when I graduated. And I tried. I really did try. And I was like... It sucked. And then a few years later, I was like, I might have another go. This Twitch streaming stuff's gotten a bit more popular now. Might have a go at that. So I bought the kit to do the streaming. And it was awful. The streams were crap. And then, again, the cycle continues all the way up until I got myself fired from a job that I really liked.
On purpose?
Oh no.
I didn't, but I got in a really heated debate with one of the new managers, and it turns out that was a shit idea. Apparently they were looking to do a restructure. I put myself in the firing line. I was not happy about that, because I quite liked that job and I was quite good at it as well. It was like a sales role that was like quite good at it. And then my girlfriend was like, this is the opportunity for you to do whatever you want. And I was like, okay. So I was applying for jobs. And if anyone's like tried to apply for jobs in the UK, it's a nightmare.
Yes.
You can't just be like, job, please. So like you fire out your CVs, you get calls up until like 10 a.m. from recruiters. They promise to call you back. They never do. And then for the rest of the day, you're just kind of sat around waiting for people to call you. And then like, I don't know, 4 p.m. you go on the job websites and send out more CVs and stuff. So I had all this dead time, like a month. And I was like, well, I'm going to stream on Twitch because I've got nothing else to do and I've got no company and I'm bored. So I started streaming on Twitch, averaged like 10 viewers, nine subs, nine big subs was like the highest I got to. And through making friends in the Rainbow Six community, because in my head I went, if I stream Rainbow Six, it's a small enough division that I can grow, because I'm not going to be at the bottom of like this fucking like Fortnite list kind of thing. Like, zero viewer Fortnite guys. Met some Rainbow Six streamers, made friends with them, started playing with them, and one of them was like, oh, I really want this emote done of like a Pokeball but with my initial on it. And I was like, oh well, I can do that. And I had all of the Adobe stuff, because I was starting to do my own panels and things. I was trying to do my own shit because I didn't have the money to spend on the stream.
Yeah.
I was like, if I spend like, you know, 15 quid a month on the Adobe package, I can justify that. You know, I told them I was a student. They believed me and they never asked. So They only recently asked, actually. That's funny. So I did it. She paid me money. I was like, cool. And then the next day, she was like, can you do this? Yeah, pay me money. And then I get a DM from someone. Hey, you did some work for that person. Can you do some work for me? Yeah, sure. So I'm doing Twitch emotes and sub badges and panels and BRB screens and stream startings. I'm doing graphics.
Hmm.
I'm making all these graphics. And then I was like, could I turn this into a job? And then I realized that Fiverr existed. And I was like, thanks to Fiverr, this will never be a full-time living. Because people will just go to Fiverr and get stuff that's better than mine. Because I'm agreeing to do things without knowing how to do them. Which is how the editing stuff started. I was like, if I can't make money from this, maybe I can make money from editing. I remember I used to like doing editing. I wonder if I could do that again. So I approached one of my friends that I met through streaming and said, hey, can I use your clips to edit? I don't want to use my own clips. I want to use your clips because my clips were all horrible and cringy. I was like, can I use your clips? I'll upload them to your YouTube. I did two videos and someone that he knew messaged me and said, how much is he paying you? Can I hire you to do videos for me as well? So I was like, £30 a video? And he was like, cool. And I was like, oh. Like, how many do you want? Two a week? I was like, oh, okay. And that was the start of this
climb
journey. Was me just going, I think, and I remember messaging someone and saying, I think I'm going to put more time into the video editing thing because I can see it being more profitable in the future.
Yeah.
And I was correct.
Unlike most people that, you know, put into Bitcoin, you actually were successful in putting your money into this risk, I guess.
Yeah.
What was your partner's thoughts on this?
She's been very supportive. I don't like to give her too much praise because I don't want her to, you know,
say that I was right.
I need to keep her humble, right? She has been. She'll never watch this. She just won't. She has been one of the contributing factors to my success. Because when the whole Canada thing happened that we were talking about before, I was like, this is mental. I walked into the living room and was like, can I go to Canada and leave you with the animals? Like, is that fair? You know, it's not me asking permission. It's me going, do you mind if I fuck off on my own for a bit? And she was like, that sounds like a fantastic idea. And I was like, it really does, doesn't it? But I need you to be okay with it because I'm literally going to leave you to deal with, you know, the cats and all of that stuff. Whereas normally we'd split the responsibilities and, you know, I know that I was like, I know you'll be fine. You're a grown up. But I didn't want to just be like, hey, I'm going to Canada for a week.
Yeah.
And that'd be rude. And then the whole thing, there's been a few situations where she's like, checked me and been wrong. One of them was my Pestly application. She was like, go for it. And I was like, cool. How do I stand out? How do I, you know, I was like, loads of people are going to be doing this. How do I stand out? So I recorded a video in front of this webcam with the Pestly application up on this monitor. I filled it all out. I filmed a video of me running through the application. Was like, look, I don't know if, I was like, hey, Pestly, my name's Will. I don't know if you're going to watch this all the way through, but I thought I'd just give you a break from reading applications and just let you sit back, have a cup of tea, and just watch an application. I'm going to try and keep this really brief. I'm just going to run through it. And then you see my face, you hear my voice, kind of thing. Like, you know who I am.
Mm.
You know, it's a bit more like we're sat in a room. And she was like, oh, is that a good idea? Is that a good idea? And I sat there, I went, I think it's a fucking great idea. And when I sent it, I thought that was a shit idea. That was awful. But then when I got on the phone with Pestily and his wife, Christina, she was like, you were the only person that did that. And that really impressed us. And I was like, yes. But yeah, she's pushed me. And if I say I'm working tonight, she's very rarely gone again. You know, because I've put in some crazy hours. Like, I've for the first year and a half, I never worked more in my life.
Oh, jeez.
And there's times where she's been like, you really need a break. And I'm like, I must edit videos or I die. You know, so I know a lot of streamers that their partners are very like, oh, they're just playing games. Oh. And I'm like, just simmer.
Yeah.
Go get yourself a hobby. Let them stream.
Who's buying the dinner tonight?
Yeah. Probably me, actually.
Oh, nice.
I'll be around then.
You know, because I don't know, this question came up because you were talking about Sidemen, and it kind of fits into this actually a lot. Is, do you have any editors that you look up to? Anybody you're inspired by, or any styles you're inspired by, or did you kind of just come up with your own straight off the bat?
My style came out of the content I enjoyed watching, which is like dumb memey videos, right? Stupid games, shit memes, slapstick sound effects, you know, that kind of stuff. When I first started, I watched a lot of videos by a Rainbow Six YouTuber called Marley, who his videos were just so perfectly edited, as far as I'm concerned, and they still are. And I've been quite fortunate to have made friends with him, and I've had this conversation with him. I watched his videos for fun, and then I watched them again. Half pace.
Yeah.
And was like, how's he done that? And then I'm trying to work out how to do it. There's a number of editors that I follow on Twitter. So his editors and him. Jacksepticeye's editor, if you watch any of his reaction videos, they're just like so superbly chained together. The pacing is just perfect and things like that. So there are a lot of people that I look at and think, I kind of wish I could do this a bit more like you do it. You do develop your own style, but you have to follow some sort of meta.
Yes.
So like, we want to appeal to Jacksepticeye's audience because he has a huge audience and we want to appeal to them. So I have to, in a way, take influence from that, take influence from other people and bring it all in to try and create something that would resonate with them. So there's a few editors that I definitely look at their work every time and I watch it twice. And that's how I learn. And then I go and try and do it and I fuck it up. And then I try and do it again and maybe get it right. So
fair. Oh, being a subpar editor, not like yourself, I would say I've been editing since 2012 because I was at the ripe old age of 12. I'm only 22.
You've learned your mistakes from me.
Shh.
You had years to learn what I was doing wrong. And looking back, I can see some parts where I've done some okay things because for me it was mostly just cutting.
Yes. What did you use to edit for most of your YouTube?
Oh, Windows Movie Maker, man. It was more than enough. Oh, don't give me that look. Do not give
what
me that.
What a bit of kit that is. I'll tell you, if you can make a proper video at Windows Movie Maker, you're a better man than I am.
Mal, I'm honestly so upset that they discontinued it. That is one of the worst decisions Microsoft has made. I think they may as well just get rid of Paint or Notepad.
Yeah.
Sure, not many people use it, but...
I used Blender for the longest time.
Blender's hard. Yeah. Blender's a hard... software.
I used the video because I used to learn Blender. I used to 3D model in it a lot, and so I learned that they had a video editor, and I was like, you know, I'm just gonna use it. I know the program. Why not?
Yeah.
I used it for the most part where you couldn't change the font for text, so it's all just default Blender font in my old videos. But now I use DaVinci Resolve. I can't live without that program.
Yeah.
It's a great competitor.
I can't tell you how many times I've nearly rage quit Premiere and downloaded DaVinci.
It just crashes all the time, I've heard. I used to use it in college. I did media in college for 2 years, so it was Premiere Pro and Photoshop for most of my media course. And I do love Premiere Pro. It's a great, great tool. It's just convenient.
Yeah.
You know, it's very powerful.
It's convenient as hell. And the guy that I predominantly work for now, he used to be an editor. His whole career started as an editor. And there are times where I'll edit a video and he'll be like, hey, can you send me the project file when you're done? because he's like, I just want to make sure that it's like exactly how I want it in this one place.
Yeah.
So I just dump it on his lap and he just can do what he wants. We've done that with a couple of videos, but if it's, you know, if I switch to DaVinci, not only have I got to relearn everything and,
yeah,
you know, get it all set up, but when I dump it on his lap, he's got to try and work out how to get in, and I don't know if it translates very well. I've never really looked into it, but it's...
That's fair. Yeah. I don't know.
Premiere Pro for life, but I hate it.
I guess that would be my, because I don't know, I've debated on editing videos with people. Like yourself, I've had people come up to me to do panels mainly. I've done panels for channels. The problem is all the channels I've done panels for just don't stream. So I haven't had the likelihood of someone going, hey, I've seen you've done work for them. Can you do something
nice
for me?
Panels. Who did your panels?
Ooh. Yeah, it's the problem is none of them stream. So I've kind of just, I've done work, but it's hit a brick wall.
Hidden away.
I need panels.
So I've debated on doing editing for people, friends I know that do content, but I've always just had that worry of I'm self-conscious. I don't know if I could do it and be like, it's to their standard or in a way they want. I don't know, maybe I'll just go fuck it and do
that's
it.
That's natural. That's very natural. It's that's exactly the same as I was. Yeah, you have to learn your client, which is why doing one-off work is quite difficult and quite painful. So I did some work for G2 Esports and it made me want to punch myself in the face because it was just like 10 people coming in over each other with different opinions about what duck we should use. The one from the iOS or the one from Android? Like, which emoji are we using here? And I'm just like, none of this is important. Can you tell me whether the video is any good, please?
Yes.
Whereas like, you know, the first 6 months of working for Pestily, I started to learn how he likes things done and started to learn how the audience likes things and, you know, the repeat offender comments like, oh, can you turn the brightness up on reserve, please? It is turned up as far as we can without it artifacting. Turn your monitor up, you goober. You know, you have to learn to be confident in yourself as well. Mm. And the only way that you learn that is by taking on things that you don't know how to do.
Yes.
And then just going and working out how to do them. I must have agreed to, like, I mean, even the entire Pestily job. When he offered me the job, I was like, I'm so underqualified for this. And he was like, no, you'll be fine. And I was like, I don't know that I will, mate, but I'm going to give it a go. And I fell flat on my face over and over and over again until eventually I learned how to put my hands out. And then I stopped falling over and eventually got quite good.
Yeah.
A number of things. Not everything, because there's tons of stuff that I'm miles away from mastering. But like, I learned how to make 3 episodes of the Raid series in one day.
Oh, sick.
Oh.
Because I just got really good at speedrunning them. And then Frankie would make all of the cool creative stuff, and I would just be smashing it out. Mm. It's definitely... To anyone that's got that same thought, just do it. Worst case scenario, you learn a bit.
Go on Craigslist and just advertise yourself as a video editor. Yeah, perfect advice.
You might get some interesting jobs.
Yeah, you know.
Are there OnlyFans editors? Is that a thing? OnlyFans editors?
There must be. They must pay well as well.
No, I reckon it's one of those things that you'd expect it to pay well, but they pay awfully.
Yeah,
probably. They probably abuse the international market quite badly.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of companies and creators that pay way low in like the European market.
Oh, in the European market.
But they outsource to Indonesia, for example, where someone will do a really great video for $30. And it's like...
It's disappointing, yeah. Well, it's like... Because you were talking about watching content at 25% speed. You mentioned in Russian Badger, his new content, I don't know how much work he puts into those, just the animations. I don't know if you've seen his newest content.
An unbelievable amount.
Yeah, ridiculous. But like style-wise, my favorite editor, and this only came into mind because you spoke about Sidemen, is ChipFat. I love his editing
style. ChipFat's a legend. And ChipFat's really good at what he does.
It looks like he puts hundreds of hours, and just some of the, you know, text work he puts into it, the subtitling. I love Chip Fat's content. Yeah.
He's very good at what he does.
Yes.
Which is the flashy, really nice things that come in.
Mm.
And it you know, he's mastered that, and that helped him get where he is today.
Yeah.
And he will, so long as Sidemen are together or apart, he'll have work with any of them.
Mm. Like, you know it's a Chip Fat video as soon as they do the intro. As soon as it's that, you see that flashy
start text really nicely bouncing around, and you see the transitions. And there was a football one where they had to do some stuff inside a box, and it was four cones. And he's like put a UV line on the floor, to highlight the floor, and then you notice it goes behind someone's leg, where he's rotoscoped it in, and then he's tracked the and I'm just sat there going, "Fucking hell, Chip Fat," like. At 1 second segment, I know how long that would have taken you.
Yes.
But that's his craft. You know, that's his... But not all editing needs to be like that.
No.
I make a lot of really low budget, simple videos. Because they don't need to be overcomplicated. Mm. The one of these guys eating bugs and throwing up everywhere and being naked is literally just cuts and zooms. It doesn't need to be... lot of censoring, chuck the mosaic effect on and track it to the penis.
I don't think you need to track it, just put it on the screen.
Chuck it in the middle of the screen. Yeah, it doesn't need to be complicated.
It's a craft that, you know, like, I think I assume he's just got presets, because I see it in some of the Sidemen GTA videos. And I'm like, I don't think he needs to do half of this stuff on these videos, because it's just
a lot of it's presets.
So
a lot of it, like text animations and anything that is being used more than once, he'll have it saved somewhere. He'll have to make it, he'll have to put the energy into making it. Once it's done, just rinse and repeat.
Something again, doing this for almost 7 years, I've only just learned about presets, and it's made my life a shit ton easier and quicker. It's, you know, putting the effort in to make the presets can be a bit daunting or tiresome. But
showed TFG presets a week ago and it blew his mind. He was like, how do I get my webcam there all the time? And I'm like, watch this. He was like, and he sat there, he's going, that's gonna save me hours. What the fuck, that's gonna save me hours. So funny.
We need that as his new alert, right?
It's what you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And when I was learning to edit, I didn't have anyone to call and ask. And now I don't open my doors, but to streamers that I can clearly see are working hard, I accept friend requests on Discord for people, and they just ask me questions, and it takes me 5 seconds to give them an answer to just a question, you know, like, that they can't find online. You know, you try and Google something really specific and it gives you something else.
Yeah.
You know, yeah,
I remember you saying on the tournament that you helped what's his name, the guy who said he fat fingered a bunch of keys, the Irish guy that you thought was Scottish for a long time, and it really just, I think,
Harry Hole.
Yeah, he's Irish, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I remember watching the VOD from when I got sniped, you kept calling him Scottish, and I found that quite amusing.
I think we were talking about Steo.
Oh, okay.
Because Steo is the guy that filters himself as a potato.
Yeah.
And Harry Hole was wearing the potato outfit. They're mates. And Steo was in the chat.
I see.
And I was like, he's an imposter. That's not Steo. Because Steo got quite a lot of attention in Pestily's Punisher tournament. Because he's a little Scottish potato in the corner of the screen like there. And he's just bopping around. And he's like, just a wee tatty. Yeah, I helped Steo quite a lot, because after he got a really warm reception in the Punisher tournament, I was like, you have any questions, you just directly message me.
Mm-hmm.
And I will save you hours of your life. And I have, and he's very grateful, and it makes me, you know, makes me feel good. Makes me feel validated.
No, it's making, putting someone's smile on your face genuinely is underrated. I feel people don't want to do it as much anymore. It's weird. Now, talking about tournaments, you mentioned, I think on the on Squad Up, that you helped with Pistilli's Punisher tournaments. Yes. You've obviously very much helped TFG present his, and I have to say this now, you two have such good chemistry. It was so much fun watching you two over the
horizon. We had a riot.
Oh, it was
so much
question.
Fun.
I'm sure we did, and I must have missed it. Did we explicitly talk about that tournament?
Not yet.
Has that happened yet?
I think we probably mentioned it before the podcast. It's fine. People know. Yeah. I've mentioned it enough on my Discord.
Join that if you haven't.
You helped out with Pistilli's tournament. I'm assuming behind the scenes a lot. And being in the front on screen on TFGs. Have you ever wanted to do your own tournament or anything
Absolutely
new
not.
Like that?
Couldn't think of anything worse.
Is there anything they else are... you would like to try then?
Well, I would like to try and make my own content, and I would like to try and be involved in more casting things for Tarkov stuff.
Have you been reinvited to the next Squad Up tournament?
I have been reinvited to the next Squad Up tournament.
Can't wait.
We got the insider info.
I would call. I know some people that run some tournaments, and I could slide a DM. But the thing is, those tournaments are run by the people that set them up.
Yeah.
It's their babies, you know. If neither of them are available to cast it, like a Hunt tournament Philbo and Iron Fist, right? I've spent a long time giving Iron Fist shit. In fact, my application for Pestily involved editing the first Twitch Rivals video, which had Iron Fist in it, and I made him look like a complete idiot. And it was so much fun. And we made friends, and we've had this in joke between us the whole time, because one of the bingo squares was to repair a limb twice in a raid. So he goes into factory, jumps off a rafter, breaks both of his legs, and just is sat in a room stapling his legs back together. So I edited it so it was like crazy action with Pestily and crazy action with Veritas, and then Iron Fist just cut all the music dead silent, and then back to the chaos, and then back to I made him look like a bit of an idiot. So I don't want to approach them and be like, hey, I know you guys love your tournament and it's your baby, can I cut in, you know, can I cut in on this? So I'm just gonna keep going with TFG and helping him with his stuff. From a time perspective, I don't really know if I have the time and effort to try and reach out to other people.
What about Evasion?
Like,
I know someone that got kicked out of that, which I feel really bad for them because they got drunk one night and just said some shit to them on stream.
I could probably ask Pestily to put in a word with Sigma.
Fair.
But then I'd have to appeal to Pestily to make it worth his while.
Yeah.
Like, because he'd have to put his neck out on the line for me a bit. And, you know, I've only done one. I've casted some Rainbow Six stuff before. I've only done one. And it's one of those things, like, if it becomes a bit bigger next time, maybe it gets seen by someone and they, you know, stick their neck out and go, do you want to come and join the team here or this, that and the other and blah, blah, blah. But I'm quite an underground member of the Tarkov community. Like, people either know who I am or they just have no idea.
Yeah.
And they just ignore me completely. You know, there's only so long I'm going to be able to ride on Pestily's coattails for before he's like, come on, bro, you worked for me 12 years ago. You know, stop going on about it. So, you know, I can't. So much effort goes into setting these things up.
Yeah.
And the bigger they are, the complications amplify, you know, dramatically. We had heaps of complications even with a 24-man tournament.
Yeah, there was an audio issue, which was a little unfortunate. I'm assuming that was from the production side. So if you need any help, I am a production expert. I will put that out there.
We'll get you in touch with old Bill.
Good old Bill. Yeah, I'll teach him the ways. No, that seemed like a bit of an issue, but I think TFG tried fixing it halfway through, and I assume it was a bit too much trouble to sort out there and then. So
I don't even know. Everything that we were looking at was fine.
Yeah.
And we had a double audio issue at the start, which we fixed quite quickly.
Oh, fair.
But then when you watch the VOD back, it's all a bit wonky.
Yeah.
But live, it was fine. And none of that makes sense to me.
No. Unless you had the audio on a separate
We did test streams. We did
master. Here we go.
We did a couple of test streams. We managed to get everything like pretty perfect. And we went, you know what? Let's just wing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so long as there's something, I kept saying to him, so long as there's something for the people to watch, and it's not a blank screen of us just sitting there, it'll be fine. So I said, worst case scenario, you just open up the tabs and have them like idle when you're not on them and just drag them in.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, just do that, right? That's how we ran the first Punisher tournament. It's fine. Perfect. It is whatever. Yeah. So we managed to sort those out, and then we were going to do a test stream before we went live, but we realized that we would have blown everything up, so we just didn't.
Ah, fair.
And we just went, ah, fuck it. Let's go live, see what happens.
First one. You know, bit of fun no yeah matter what. Everybody had a wonderful time, so it worked out perfectly, I feel.
Yeah, it was very good. We're going to be sending out feedback forms to all the competitors soon.
I'll fill it out in 2 months.
Because we want to hear what they have to say so we can ignore it and do what we want to do.
Yeah.
Rigged.
I'm going to write a 6-paragraph feedback now just for you to ignore it.
Run-throughs. What? And then we've got our feedback, so I've got some feedback and stuff, and then we're going to come up with the next one is going to be a different theme.
Yes, I think you mentioned it was making the most money, wasn't it?
Yeah, we think it's going to revolve around money. We need to sit down. Basically, the first thing that TFG did was he came up with the idea for the tournament, and then I ripped it apart.
Oh.
And went, right, I'm going to be a pedantic dick, and I'm going to put a load of scenarios in front of you. Change the rules loads. Like, I just kept asking him really obscure questions because the way my brain works is I look at problems from 9 boxes away. And I don't know if you've ever seen Taskmaster.
Yes.
But whenever I watch Taskmaster, I'm the guy that sits there and I think about the wording of it. And I'm like, how can I abuse this? And it's the most unfun result, right? Mm. It's the most unfun thing, and it takes all the fun out of everything. But we're going to do the same thing. We're going to sit down. He's going to come up with an idea. I'm going to try and make it horrible and break it and, you know, give him a reason to change all the rules. And then, you know, hopefully we can get them like one every 3 months or something.
Oh, like, that'd be sick, yeah.
Just something regular, you know, that's in the diary. Where my involvement will be as little as turning up and shouting for 4.5 hours.
The perfect job, though. You know, just coming up for a couple hours, shouting your lungs out.
It's more fun than the stuff I did for Punisher Tournament, because that was just hard work.
A lot of hard work.
So I made... So all the videos that introduce people, I made all of those.
Oh, geez.
I made all the graphics for like the winners announcements. So I had to be there for the end of every region, whether that was at 3 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, because we ran them solid over the period of a few days. Yeah. And it got to the point where I would sit and watch tournaments, and I would be in the calls with the production team, and by the end of it I was actually just on cheater watch. Whenever we got someone being a bit sussy, I would We talk about it in the Discord, and I would be sat of my own accord watching the stream to see if something was a little bit fishy. There was one instance where someone got killed through a door, and their mod reported it as potentially suspicious. And I dissected the shit out of it from both angles. And I basically, we called it not suspicious. Because it came down to, is this something that you would do in a factory run, yes or no? The answer was yes. So we were like, right, that guy's just cracked.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing a lot of that and not sleeping a lot. It was hard work.
Sounds like fun.
It was hard work. It was fun. They are fun.
But I guess having your name on it as well, well, being able to say I did this,
yeah,
you know, that's not many people. Like, you would. Well, what was it? I can't remember his name, but you were saying there was a musician and something else who was streaming in the tournament, and you said that as big as your CV is, you're nothing compared to him. I would genuinely say you're probably one of the biggest CVs of anybody I've ever met in my life.
Like a rap producer and stuff. That guy is cool, man. Yeah. I stopped in his stream the other day. That guy is cool. He's a cool guy. Like, that's the kind of guy that you want to be friends with because he's just cool.
Like, chilled out.
But my CV is pretty thick.
So that's two CVs?
Multiple CVs.
Oh, nice.
Like my Discord bio. I think it's my Discord bio, but my Twitter bio, it's who I work for now, former Pestily G2 Esports, Esports Award finalist and editor of SI 2020, which is the Siege World Champion. Mm. So when people see that, they go, this guy ain't fucking around. He's a serious editor. And that's really what you get from me. Like, it's not on there to brag. Because if I wanted to brag, I could.
Yeah.
I'm not really a braggy person. But it's more because I'm networking with content creators and other editors. If you just have a bio that says editor, it's like, okay, but at what level are you? Like, where are you on your journey? You know? If Jacksepticeye stumbles across my profile, I want him to look at it and go, this guy knows how to fuck with Premiere Pro.
Mm-mm.
This guy knows how to make a video. He's made videos before. Okay, cool. We can take him seriously. I think Delicious
said change his description to knows how to edit with Windows Movie Maker.
Windows Movie Maker Pro.
Yeah.
Retired world champion Windows Movie Maker Pro.
Yeah. No, it's literally okay.
Oh no, I'm just gonna say the weird thing is I really did go down in some ways, especially when I started using Vegas. Because at that point I just stopped doing my tech, so yeah, I wouldn't expect you to know this, which would be fair enough. I started doing forms of like text tracking in Windows Movie Maker, which basically means creating a text box and going through frame by frame.
And moving a new instance of the text box.
Yeah, it was the stupidest idea. It didn't look good, but I did it for, I'd say, a decent amount of things. And for some reason, I got Vegas and just never touched text anymore. It's because I didn't like it, perhaps opening in a separate window at the time.
Yeah.
True. Oh, absolutely. Oh,
talking about text editing, you have to give it to Soviet Womble.
Yes.
Yeah.
Making his own video and editing them himself and tracking, like, he did it he did a lot of it in Vegas. I couldn't imagine doing that. I've tried it. Nah, not fun. Not fun in the slightest.
I refuse to subtitle anything anymore.
I've started subtitling stuff. My problem is, as you've perfectly found out, I'm dyslexic. People have pointed that out in my newest videos, is I can't spell.
Yeah.
My missus watches the videos that I make and she's like, that's a spelling. If I do put text on the screen for any reason, there's a spelling mistake there. And I'm just like,
yep.
Supposed to watch it to see if it's funny. Was that spelling mistake on purpose? Yes,
it's not funny if there's a spelling mistake.
Stop.
It's got to be professional. There's a level we come to expect of you people, you know, you content creators.
It's not fair. I can't spell for the shit. Fuck.
The thing that gets me is whatever program, and this seems to be fair across multiple editing softwares, don't have a spell check built in.
Yeah.
Or like an option for it.
That's true. Yeah, actually.
It would really save a lot of people from just these little mistakes.
I just don't do text anymore. Don't do subtitling. Sacked it all off. I did a ton of A/B testing and I just sat there and thought, do you know what? It takes me this long to do it, and we get an extra 100 views from people that like things with subtitles. I'd rather lose the 100 views.
What about the deaf?
YouTube CC stuff is a lot better than it used to be.
But it's not as funny.
It's not great. So one of my best friends' girlfriends, in my humble opinion, hard of hearing, right?
Mm.
So whenever we're around his and we're watching YouTube videos on the telly, we've got the subtitle stuff on. And we always sit and we spend more time looking at the subtitle stuff. And she literally turned around to me and was like, look, it's shit. You can kind of work it out, right? You learn to speak YouTube, what she said.
Yeah, okay.
And I was like, okay, that's fair enough. And I did get a message from someone saying, hey, for some reason, Juicy's not got his subtitles turned on. Can you, you know, I'm deaf. Can you turn them on? And I was like, yeah, sure. Of course I can. Turned them on, watched some of them back, and they're quite close.
Okay. Yeah.
It would take me hours to subtitle one of his videos.
Oh.
And it's just a waste of time in
this,
my humble.
This brings up a good opinion. As we were talking about the humble Tom Scott earlier, he, in one of his videos, he said that big streamers who make a lot of money do not have an excuse to not hire someone to subtitle their videos.
Ooh. I know subtitlers. I know people that do that job.
And I think it's a fair point. If you earn in hundreds of thousands a year, you do not have an excuse to not subtitle your videos.
But what if it's not part of your style mantra?
Oh, no, not, if it not, doesn't not to subtitle it, but I mean, you know, you can subtitle them manually on YouTube.
So oh, I didn't know that. Actually, yeah, I've never looked at that.
You can manually subtitle them.
Do that? They've removed so many features.
I'm pretty
like,
sure
I know
you still can. Tom Scott does it.
Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah, you're right. It's just community submitted ones you can't take anymore, isn't it? Which is still incredibly bullshit.
Because he does his comedy one way. He hides a few little jokes in the subtitles.
He does. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. If you turn on the subtitles, I think he's changed it to English US because people were complaining that if you watched it with English subtitles, you had the jokes there, and sometimes the context of those jokes can change the joke.
Yeah,
and so he
that
changed
and the
it.
U confuses a whole nation of people, and we, you know,
yes, yeah,
we don't want to upset those people.
Too many
especially seeing as they're like
poor brains.
They're worth a lot of money to YouTube ad revenue. So,
yes,
yeah, we'll take the U out. Sorry, guys.
We're sorry. Yeah, and pronounce it completely wrong.
No, it's a tricky one because from our perspective, we can see the data. 0.2% of people watch the videos I make with subtitles on, and if that 0.2% of people made a fuss about it being shit, I might look at doing something about it, but so far I've heard no complaints.
It's because they can't hear
with
you.
with the amount of time it takes me to edit a subtitling into a video, I could have started a new video and got a massive way through that. Like,
yeah.
So 0.2%. If you've got a problem, DM me on Twitter.
Now you're just gonna get. I know nobody's gonna watch this, but now you're just gonna get a shit ton of fucking replies on Twitter.
Yeah, do it. DM me on Twitter about it, and prove it.
I'll do something
about it. I'll think about doing something about it.
You saying those stats just kind of makes me think I'm not gonna subtitle my videos as much as I do. Maybe just for like comedic effect.
I mean, have you
just for my spelling errors?
You guys have heard of I don't know if he changed his name lately, so I want to... Oh, I can't bother to check. Jolly Wankor? I don't know if you've heard of him. Yeah, I knew you'd both give me that reaction.
I've recognised the name.
He's mainly done, or he's most well known for like Half-Life / Half-Life mods or like Source Engine stuff like that.
I'm sure I will have seen something.
He's basically now gone to a system where, let me see if I remember this correctly, he used to basically subtitle everything. Mm-hmm. Now he does less subtitling for his second channel, and that's like a lower effort channel. Mm-hmm. But for his main one, he's stopped subtitling himself, but he keeps subtitling like NPCs and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's a bit less effort for him. I just wonder because I like, what do you do out of interest then, Charles, for subtitles? Because obviously you don't subtitle everything. I wonder if there was like a method.
But I might just lower that to really funny moments. So never.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I suppose. Be me too.
Thank you. That's really helping my ego right there.
I didn't think you had moldy hair. I think I'm still on your good side.
Nah, it's... you know what? I think that is more or less everything. Like, we haven't asked the specific questions, but we've gone through more or less everything I sent you. I'm not going to ask the stupid questions. I thought they were funny, but then I read over them after I sent them to you. Like, they're just cringy.
That's not that funny, is it? Maybe at the time, if you did it there and then in that moment, it would have been funny.
But
and then you'd have been looking back now, like, oh, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Do you have any quick fire questions that you have always wanted to ask an editor or someone in my position that I could answer with like two or three words? Or just me. Just quick fire question. Any random shit that's crossing your mind.
Have you got any gaming related tattoos? I see you've got a nice one on your arm. A nice
gaming related tattoos. None of them are actually, yes, my so this one here, this piratey. So this is all pirate themed.
Oh.
The map. Okay. This map is actually a map from my first ever D&D campaign.
Oh.
Which was custom map that my friend's written this whole story. We're still playing it 4 years later, by the way.
That's sick.
Mainly because of COVID. So cool. It like cucked us for ages. But the map is actually the area where my character's from. So this is where my D&D character's from in his world.
Yeah.
And then like this whole map around here. So yeah, that's the only gaming kind of related thing that I have tattoo-wise.
Nice tattoo.
Would you commit now to, if Tactical wins the next tournament, that you'd get a tattoo somehow related to him? I mean, ideally a Twitch link, but it could be a logo.
No.
A QR code to your,
yeah.
Be a Twitch
absolutely
channel.
My glasses. A QR code you could hide in there.
That's too much of a commitment right there.
Plus, he's not going to win.
No. No, money related.
So how confident are you?
I'm good with money. I could easily make a shit ton of money off that tournament. It's getting into it is going to be the hardest part because it's sheer luck.
We might change that slightly.
Oh, okay.
Because the random draw was built to integrate fairness.
Yes.
And all it gave us was non-committal.
Oh, yeah, there was
there
a
was
lot of issues.
There was tons of people that wanted to play really badly, right? And it got to the point where we started just pulling those people in because people weren't replying. You know, people
that's
said
bullshit.
They'd give you an email address and say, contact me on this email address. They never reply.
That would honestly piss me off. If I went to the effort to set something up and they're, especially say on like a random selection sort of scenario.
Yep.
Good Lord.
It was very well known who had won. We had all of their information, you know, they're content creators, so they should be on top of their socials. You know, and there was a lot of people that just didn't reply, and then there were people that said yes, and then they'd say no, and, you know, we had a guy drop out 2 hours before the tournament even started. And, you know, without going into details, because it was a conversation between him and TFG, he was a fucking bell end about it.
Oh really?
He will never be invited to anything fun again.
Well,
so we might change it up next time and just
if you ever need someone who barely knows the buttons for Tarkov, just to spice things up so you have a wild card doing this tournament.
But also you would need to stream again for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
There you go. That could be my return. It could be me getting back into it. I think you'd have to have a tattoo of me then, right?
If you could win it all, that would be quite an interesting. Yeah, just a little chattery teeth one.
That'd be hell.
That'd be quite something.
Right, questions. Are those art pieces behind you? Two questions on those. Are you a Marvel fan?
Yes.
And are they done by someone famous on Twitter?
Absolutely no idea.
Oh, okay.
I bought them at a Comic-Con. That's Spider-Man.
Yep.
That's Geralt. And then one of my most favorite games of all time, they are the Mishimas from Tekken.
Oh.
Very into my fighting games. And they look wonky, right? But the whole camera's wonky.
I was going to say.
The room isn't wonky.
I was about to say.
You saying
that
now,
the whole camera's wonky.
Realize they're going down a bit. Oh.
Yeah. I've had a spirit level on top of them because I was like, hang on a minute. But you'll notice that the radiator's also going down.
It is, but also, it could just be me.
Is that
and
wait,
I've been
second.
Wondering this.
Is that,
oh, okay,
is
go on, you first.
Is that an Amoongus right at the bottom left?
Oh my god, I didn't know this.
No, what are you talking about? This is my aircon unit. I just moved my plate off in true gamer fashion.
Yeah.
Yes, it
See,
is.
It absolutely is.
It's in the camera.
I thought it was a copier or a printer or something.
No, it's my aircon unit because it gets unbearably sweaty in here. So these are actually little tiny
gamers,
Among Us people.
Oh, god damn it.
And there's the big one, and then there's tons of Pokemon. Basically,
we really need to start vetting who we get on this podcast.
There's loads of Pokemon stickers on there as well.
Pokemon,
okay, I'll take it back.
My fiance's well into Pokemon, and she got loads of stickers of Pokemon Snap. And she was like, hey, this aircon unit looks boring. And just started attacking
it. As you do?
But there's actually one on the front. There's an Among Us on the front of it. And it's an Italian Among Us who's got a frying pan with some spaghetti in it because he's the impasta. He's the impasta.
You don't use a frying pan for spaghetti. What sort of nonsense is this?
And it's a blackened... This saved my life last summer because the first summer I ever worked from home doing this,
yeah.
I was dripping with sweat to the point where I had to start work at 7 and stop at 2. And then I had to take a break like a Spaniard and come back to work at like 8 and work until midnight because I was just, this room just becomes such a heat box. Even with all the doors and windows open, it's like, I'll be butt naked and I will just be glistening. So I had to get that. It was a really expensive week for the electricity, but it was so worth it.
Fair.
And it makes so much noise.
Do you have any questions?
The slanting. I just wanted to point, because obviously I noticed towards the start, obviously the frames were off level and I thought, oh, you know, it's probably just the camera's off kilter. Now that I've looked at it properly, I'm sure the light switch is at a different angle to the frames, though. Could you take a level to the light switch?
This house is very this house is very broken.
On
top of a mine shaft.
Let me get my spirit. If you haven't got a spirit level app on your phone, by the way, who even are you?
You're not a man.
Oh, you're using a phone. Okay. I mean, I prefer the analog system myself.
This is great exactly. Content for the listeners out there.
It's out by 0.2.
0.2.
It's out by 0.2. Yeah.
Who built that?
And the reason I have a spirit level on my phone is because I move my monitor quite a lot. And I always look at it and I go, my monitor wonky, so I get my spirit level out and I put it on the front. And I'm like, yeah, why does it look wonky though?
Probably because the house is at a slant, is what I'm
hearing. This whole building is sinking into the ground.
Oh, goody.
That's why if I sit in my chair.
Right.
It's not going to do this
now.
Please
tell me you roll backwards.
No, I spin. Oh. If I sit, there we go.
Again, it's great content for the viewer. For context, he's sitting on his chair and waiting for it to rotate.
By the power of gravity. Just
it just slowly goes round and just kind of stops out here a little bit.
Oh my word.
That is, yeah. Now I see why you know how they say raises.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think your house is slowly lifting up from the hot air.
Slowly going the wrong way. So like I'm having a house built at the moment and I said to the guys like,
ooh.
I'm getting a guy in with a spirit level. He's going to be checking everything.
So did you say you're getting a house built at the moment?
Yeah, I'm building a house over in Peterborough.
God damn.
Because it's considerably cheaper to build one over there than it is in Northampton.
Fair. Can't beat that.
And I grew up just outside of Cambridge.
Oh,
so it's like just a little bit
you
north
posh
of that.
People.
I'm
not that posh. It's all in the accent.
You start. We've got Cambridge. We've got Oxford. We've got the big two here.
I'm from Oxford. I don't live in Oxford. Okay.
Same.
I know, but that counts.
I'm not gonna lie. When you said Peterborough,
you're
I was like,
fraud.
Why are you moving to France? That was my first thought.
Jesus.
You tell Bel-El. It's definitely not got a big French population as far as I know.
Oh, fair.
But yeah, I'm definitely sending a guy in to make sure that the house isn't sinking and the light switches are straight and...
You're going to have like
That'll
like
just
a
be
house...
me on webcam.
You're going to have a house vlog?
I was going to do one and send it out to like mates and stuff just because...
Oh, fair.
Oh, hell yeah.
People are quite in... Like, I don't mind sharing it with like streamers and stuff. I'm not going to do a... Chuck it on the YouTube.
That's sick. But
I haven't uploaded to for a year. But there's everyone that I've spoken to is like, oh my god, that's so cool. You'll have to send me pictures when you get it. And I'm like, why would I send you pictures when I could just walk around with my phone camera and just show you the house?
Yeah.
Like, why?
We're trying to give you the lesser effort option, you know?
You know me, I like talking.
Surely the lesser effort option is just going around with a camera and just filming it. Taking pictures
basically
takes effort.
No.
Yes.
I'm just going to walk around like this and be like, hey, it's my house, yo. And that's all I'm going
to You know do. When Steven, you go to the cinema and they just like upload a still by Steven Spielberg and I was like, wow, that took so much more effort.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been an absolute pleasure today, honestly.
Ooh, a sharp ending. Good.
A
very
sharp ending.
Cut-off.
I always ask, do you want to advertise anything or shout anything out or promote anything?
This podcast. Rewatch it. re-listen to it, rewind. All of my socials and everything is at a sarcastic Brit. I somehow managed to get that across the board. I don't know why.
I'll make sure to put them in the description, don't worry.
Yes, it was inspired by Cynical Brit.
Oh, not tactical.
That was the inspiration for that. The problem is I've set myself a challenge where I'm not tweeting. I'm tweeting twice this year, once at the beginning and once at the end. So my Twitter, where it is normally a shit post central, I'm currently trying to prove a point. And a lot of people have offered me a lot of money to tweet, and I'm refusing.
I think my follow's just gone to waste then, is what you're telling me.
So I'm not expecting to get many followers this year, but actually, so far, it's still happening. People are still following. I will eventually start Twitch streaming again. What that looks like, I don't know. But it might just be me editing and hanging out for a bit, and then maybe some gaming at some point. I don't know. Mm. Basically, just the house is due to be finished soon, so we're waiting for that. And then once we're in, I'm going to be like, stream time, do more things time, not be in this shitty little slanted room time. but yeah, those are pretty much where you can find me, or anywhere lurking around the Tarkov community on Twitch during the day, because I work from home for myself, so I just sit and watch Twitch streams and chat shit.
Ideal. No, it has been
basically it.
Absolute pleasure. No, genuinely, thank you very, very much.
Thank you for coming
today.
On. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for
I
having
didn't,
me.
Didn't expect to have someone with such a big, thick CV to I be think, on a such a small little.
I think he's the most famous stream. Person we've had on.
I don't judge by fame. I judge by beard.
I do. I'm judging by fame.
Judging by bank balance, boys.
Yeah.
Are you balling, son? Are you balling?
I work in a chippy. Like yes, I am balling.
Mate. Chippy's the unsung
hero
of the nation.
That's true. I get free food. I'll take it any day. Can't. It's
One near us got a zero health and safety rating. And then it turns everyone was kicking off about it. And then the bloke that owns it was just like, no, we just sent them away because we were so busy we couldn't entertain them.
Oh my God.
They came at like peak time on a Friday night on payday to do the inspection. And the guy was just like, no, I don't have time for this. And they gave him a zero.
Jesus.
I was going to say you should have like eaten their food on Twitch if it was a zero. That should have been your return to
all
streaming.
This bad food. I might start streaming again at some point. I don't know. I haven't. I was going to stream like today, but I was like, I don't want to stop the stream to do the podcast because then I'll have been chatting all day and I'll be tired.
You heard it here first, folks. We got a promise from a tactical Brit. Gonna return to streaming.
Wrong person for one.
That is our child, Tactical Brit TV.
Oh, that is man. I don't know if you've heard of a
There's
Tactical Brit.
There's too many Brits.
He's a fairly call it now. Big There's YouTuber right now, but wrong person. A sarcastic Brit. I will put your links in the description, nevertheless. Just because
I'm allowed to retweet things as well if you do anything on Twitter. I'm just not allowed to type words.
Oh, I'll tweet that. I'll tweet
that's
this
the
out.
That's the Twitter rule. Not allowed to type words.
I'm going to make sure that you have to type a word to retweet it. Anyway, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very, very much for your time out of your busy day. And hopefully be seeing you around. I don't know. We'll see what happens with the tournament. God knows what happens. I don't think they'll let someone who ran through twice. No, once. Back on, but we'll see.
I'm putting a good word.
Appreciate it. But yeah, no. As always, have a good evening, good day, good night, good morning. And we'll see you in the next one. Ta-ra.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, no.